The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Hey everyone, welcome on into the show. I am Sandy Charles, sitting in for Brad Sesmat. We have a lot to get to. Game 3, Lakers-Suns, is tonight. But first, as always, we're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, working for you, working with you. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. So Game 3, Lakers-Suns tonight. Suns won Game 1, Lakers won Game 2. So tonight in LA, a lot to get to. But first, I do want to touch on, it is almost the it's the end of May. It's almost June. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I know that I start strong at the beginning of the month, like, yes, mental health, because it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And as the month goes on, it kind of is back in the back seat. And I want to bring it in the front and just talk a little bit about it, because I don't want us to lose sight of it. And I talked to a head athletic trainer yesterday because I'm trying to dive deep into mental health for athletes. And he dropped the word emotions. And I guess I've never heard it that way in mental health, because I don't know why, but it really struck a chord with me, because it is emotional. Mental health is emotions. If I'm mad, if I'm angry, if I'm sad, if I'm stressed, if I'm irritable, if any of that, that's all coming from thoughts and stressors from up here. And so it is emotions. So taking captive and being more aware of, okay, I feel a little agitated right now. What's going on? I feel a little stressed. I'm angry. What's going on up here? The mental health, taking my thoughts captive. So that's something I'm going to really work on. And the other thing is that we are, as people, burden lifters. We're supposed to be burden lifters for our neighbors, for our brothers, for our sisters. And so being that, I am that for my family, and vice versa. And so as we become burden lifters, we help each other. And it's not to say, I'm struggling so much, let me take on more. It's, I'm struggling so much, I'm going to talk to a friend. They're going to burden lift that. And then I'm vice versa going to burden lift for them, or whomever. It could be a train down. But just that we're all in this together. And if you're struggling, if there's something you're going through, just know you're not alone. Even if you think it is so silly, and there's nothing silly. If something's upsetting you or bothering you or stressing you out, it's not silly. And it's not small. There's nothing small. You know, it's, we're all in this. We all have different triggers, and my trigger might be completely different to yours, but it doesn't make it silly and it doesn't make it small. It's mine, and it's, I own that, and I'm going to work on that. And so there's nothing too small. So we're all in this together, and just reach out to someone, a coach, a friend, a coworker, a teammate, even someone at church, anyone. Just reach out to someone. I was looking online, and I'll be the first to full transparency, looking at therapists to go to and unload with, and say, this is my baggage. This is my trauma. I don't know if I have any trauma. Let's see. And so I'm excited for that. I want to be mentally healthy so that I can be better for you guys and can be better for everyone. And so that's really my goal. Okay. So that's the little snippet on mental health. Let's get to Suns. It is Game 3 in LA. Chris Paul is listed as probable. He has that right shoulder contusion. So, I mean, he was limited in Game 2 and only played 7 minutes in the second half. So there's a lot going on with this. And the Suns need him. They need him for their confidence. They can get the job done with him on the bench and cheering them on. But I think for them, it changes how they play. It elevates them when he's on the court with them. So they really do need Chris Paul. I have a guest today on the show, NBA TV's Kristen Ledlow, and she breaks it down a little bit more. And she says it just so beautifully. So I will let her break down all the CP talk. But being in LA with the Lakers having home court advantage and fans and their defending champions, and no matter what they do, their confidence is always sky high. The Suns have an uphill battle, but it's not, they can win this. They're not defeated already. So play the game that they know, let Monty Williams do his magic because he is a beautiful coach, and make the adjustments from game two. Certain things, they just look different in game one to game two. They played completely different. So fixing that and cleaning that up, and Kristen goes into that as well. I do want to touch on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now they are in last place in the NL West. They've lost 10 in a row. They've lost 13th in their last 14th, and they've lost 19th in the last 22. Merrill Kelly was on the bump last night, and he did a pretty good job through six innings. He only allowed two runs, and the offense put together 13 hits. So there's some good sparks and that we're seeing. It's just not all coming together. And if you ask anyone that works in baseball at this time right now, whether you're in first place or you're in last place, the answer is always, it's a long season. And it is 100%. It is. We're not even in June. Haven't even hit the All-Star game halfway mark. So there's a lot that can be fixed. It's just that the Diamondbacks have to fix it. They have to start getting that train back on the tracks. And guess who comes to town next series? So the Diamondbacks are playing the Giants. They played the Giants last night. Next up is St. Louis, and Paul Goldschmidt comes back to town. So this is going to be an exciting matchup. And the Diamondbacks just have a lot to fix. And if we can get the Diamondbacks to where the Suns are, so bear with me, the Suns had an 11-year drought, and the Valley really, really, really needed this, what the Suns are doing right now in the playoffs, having fun, playing well, and just the fans are just going crazy. They love all the players, whether it's campaign, whether it's CP3, whether it's DeAndre Ayton, I didn't even touch on. Oh my gosh, fabulous. But Kristen and I do. If the Diamondbacks can get back to this and revive our city and love of baseball, it's going to be, watch out, because Arizona already is a sports town. We have it all. It's just sometimes our teams go through these little valleys. And so we got to go through them with them, but they can do it. They can. It is a long season, like I said. So we welcome Paul Goldschmidt next, and hopefully they can win against Goldie. Okay. That is enough. We will be right back. And I will join, well, actually she joins me, or I join her, either way, at NBA TV's Kristen Ludlow. I'm Sandy Charles, and I'm now joined by NBA TV's Kristen Ludlow. Kristen, the Suns dropped game two to the Lakers, 109-102. What were some of your takeaways from game two?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I know we're talking to a primarily Suns fans filled audience. So realistically, dropping game two, LeBron doesn't lose in game twos of the first round. The Lakers have now in the last year not lost in back-to-back games. So, you know, this I think was a very realistic expectation going into game two, and really taking game one when you weren't favored to do so, despite being the number two seed, you're facing the reigning champions. And again, LeBron James in the first round. So again, I think it was a realistic expectation was that this series would be tied after two. LeBron throughout the entirety of his career has never gone down 0-2 in the first round series. He's never actually lost a first round series that he's been a part of either. But again, keeping in mind that we are talking to a primarily Suns fans-filled audience, in order to kind of infuse some hope there, I think it's going to be important to throw some big bodies at Anthony Davis, keep him more limited the way that the team did in game one, and really get out and set the pace early on as well. Again, just some of the differences between game one and game two, as you look at the film afterward and even look at the highlights afterward, those were the differences that stood out to me.
How crucial is it for the Suns to get guard Chris Paul back in full go?
Yeah, I love Chris Paul. I have long loved Chris Paul. I loved Chris Paul before I got to know Chris Paul. I loved Chris Paul before I ever covered a game that Chris Paul played in. He is undoubtedly one of not only the best to play his position in the last decade or so, but one of the elite point guards that the game has ever seen. That aside, and statistics aside, he is going to be so important to this Suns team moving forward solely due to the leadership that he brings. And even without him in that second half, he only played a little bit more than 6 minutes, I believe, in the second half in game two. Just without his very presence out there on the floor, his presence means that there is a threat, but his presence also means that there is a leader out there on the floor that is a vocal leader that also leads by example. And I really don't think it can be overstated how important he's going to be to this series moving forward.
You touched on it a little bit, just the adjustment that they need to do on AD. What adjustments now that we're going into LA? This is not home court advantage anymore. Right. They're going to be in LA. What adjustments do the Suns need to make for game three?
Yeah, you know, it's some of what I mentioned just in my takeaways from game two, because as I'm watching it, I'm always thinking, okay, now where is the series? Who is the series tilting in the favor of at this point? Probably not the right way to say it, but you're following me. Yes. Who at this point is this series going to favor moving forward? And I saw some statistic that our NBA TV research team sent me after the game in game two, that said it was a little bit over 70% of the time that when a series is tied 1-1, whoever wins game three goes on to win the whole thing. So this is going to be a hugely important game three at Staples Center. And of course, it's not going to be an easy one, because you're facing the reigning champions, who the last time they took the floor at Staples, I believe they hoisted a banner. They've got fans back in the stands. This is a long storied franchise that has a huge home court advantage and is not just looking to win a first round series. This is a franchise that expects championships. So you're going into a building knowing that you're facing one of the greatest to ever play the game of basketball, and he's looking to win back-to-back championships and looking to be the first ever to be the lowest seed possible to win a championship as well. And when odds are stacked up against this guy, he seems to defy them time after time. And you're looking at Anthony Davis, who after game one took the blame for the loss and who said, you know what, going into game two, I have to be better or this team's not going to be better. So all of that you bear in mind as you step onto the floor at Staples Center. But I think one of the advantages that you've got there, again, this is a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in, what is it? It's more than a decade, right? 11 years?
11 years.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So most of these guys were in middle school or so the last time that that happened. Yeah. And so there's, I think, somewhat of an advantage going in, not thinking that you're supposed to lose, thinking we've got really nothing to lose. And so apart from those takeaways that I mentioned from game two, you know, the adjustments that you can make defensively against Anthony Davis and getting out and setting the pace early on, you also got to expect that Devin Booker is going to be better. He's not going to go 0-for-3 from beyond the arc again. You're going to know a little bit more of what you're going to get from these guys moving forward. And as long as a couple of those things are done, then you absolutely have a shot in game three. And like I mentioned, whoever wins game three when these series are tied typically goes on to win the whole thing.
And Suns fans want that to be the Phoenix Suns. The Valley needs this. One of the stars, Devin Booker, Arizona fan base has known what a star he is, but it's always been rumored he's the most disrespected NBA player in the league. So do you think now, after two games and him dropping 31 points in game two, is Devin Booker nationally on everyone's radar?
All right. Well, first and foremost, I think that Damian Lillard is on line one talking about the most disrespected and undervalued at the position. But Devin Booker absolutely has been, because I don't think anybody's surprised nationally. I don't think that any NBA fan is surprised that he can put up the kind of numbers that he's been putting up. But I think the question that's been looming over his head throughout the entirety of his career, his very young career thus far, is whether or not he can do it on the biggest stage under the brightest lights that is the NBA playoffs. And I don't think that enough is being made of the groundwork that he helped lay with this team in the bubble as this NBA season resumed last year in Orlando. To take that team from where they were to where they are now, you have to look to Devin Booker first. You, of course, are going to look to changes that have been made culturally with Monty Williams, changes that have been made from the top down. But ultimately, this is a franchise that has said, hey, you're our star, and we're counting on you to take us to the next level. So again, I don't think that nationally there was any doubt that he could show up, that he could perform at a level that is considered among the best at his position. But it's always that looming question as to whether or not he can do it when games matter most. And up to this point, he hadn't had a chance to show it. And now we're watching that he undoubtedly is able to do so. And I do think that he's going to be even better in game three.
Another one, DeAndre Ayton. Here in Arizona, the fans have been really hard on him, really hard the last few years.
Of course.
But he's, in the last few games, he's come in clutch. Last few weeks, he's really come into his own.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's tough. And fan bases are always going to be tougher on the top pick. In the, you know, like, there's something that comes with that. We're not expecting you to be a role player on a team that could end up pretty good. We're expecting you to be a once in a generation superstar. Realistically, if you look at the top picks in the NBA draft for the last couple of decades, there's a couple that are, you know, and so whether or not the expectation is fair or unfair, it's a realistic expectation. And so the criticism, of course, is warranted most of the time when the expectations are as high as they are for a player of his stature, for a player that was chosen to be a franchise cornerstone. But one of the coolest things is not only to watch him produce statistically, like we knew that he probably could all along. His game has developed undoubtedly, but I think his confidence has developed in a way that it's just so much fun to watch. I loved seeing him. He was the one wearing the microphone, and you know, you get to watch him warm up. You get to watch him, the way that he interacts with his teammates, the way that he takes the floor, the way that he communicates on both ends of the floor, the way that he pulls his teammates aside and says, listen, like, we know that Devin's going to be Devin. It's up to us to be what he needs around him. And so it's such a cool thing when a player who could undoubtedly be a star on his own steps into and is able to thrive within the role that he's been placed in. He's done it in an incredibly efficient manner as well, but to do it with so much confidence makes me so excited for him.
Do you think that semi the CP effect kind of over there in his ear building him up?
Yes. Without a doubt. That's the kind of stuff that you really can't put a price tag on, the kind of stuff that Chris Paul brings to it. I mean, look, last season in Oklahoma, he didn't even know going into the season after all the moves that happened in the offseason to get all of the superstar players where they needed to be. And he ends up in Oklahoma. He didn't even know whether or not they were going to keep him on the roster. And actually, that's not so. I don't know if he ever said that publicly. He said it to me. And so I know that he did not know whether or not they were even going to keep him on the roster. And sure enough, they did. And you watched what that Thunder team was capable of because he was the leader in their lineup. And it's the same thing that's happened in Phoenix. And so those who are watching, of course, the box scores, it's easy to say, well, okay, so he's not what he used to be, or he's not what he once was, or, you know, perhaps in the playoffs, it is true that he has struggled. He struggled with injury. He struggled, you know, but when you look at a young team who's trying to just take the next level, there's to take the next step to get to the next level. There is nothing like a Chris Paul on your team. And I don't know why I say a Chris Paul on your team as if there's many of them. There's not. No. I mean, like, there's Chris Paul. That's it. You know? And so whether or not he's healthy enough to carry this team offensively through this series, to facilitate this offense throughout the series, is one question. But whether or not he's healthy enough to simply be on the floor to keep doing what he's been doing for those younger players thus far this season, you mentioned DeAndre included, that's the kind of thing that, give him his money, because you can't put a price tag on that.
100%. Totally agree. It's the intangible that he brings.
Exactly.
Last question, because I just thank you, and I know you have a lot going on. If you were Monty, what is your message to your team as you go into game three?
Oh, man, let me start by saying he's one of my favorite coaches, not just because of the way that he coaches. He is one of my favorite men that is involved in the league in any capacity. And one of my favorite things about when game broadcasts look somewhat normal and our TNT broadcast crew goes into an arena and we're preparing for a game and there are fans in the stands, and none of which has happened in more than a year now, is we have the opportunity to sit down with these head coaches before games and to get to talk through their game plan and get to talk through some of what they're seeing in practices and some of what they saw in shoot around leading up to a game like this. And the last time that I saw him, the last time that we actually got a chance to sit down and have something like that, was in November of 2019. So that just a few months out of the world suddenly coming to a stop, basketball included. He talked about what it was that they were building there. He talked very specifically about the ways in which the culture was being shifted and how often he was telling them that the winds are going to follow. Like, this is where we start and the winds are going to follow. And sure enough, here we are this side of what, a year and a half later from him telling us all of that. And they're winning. The winds are following. And so to watch the culture shift that has taken place under Monty Williams, again, you talk about not being able to put a price tag on that. That, you know, like he's that. You can't put a price tag on that, on what he brings, not just as a head coach and strategically, because he does do all of that, but what he brings to the lives of the young men that he's been charged with is just such a special thing. It is a stunning and special thing. And so if I'm Coach Williams, and I'm not for very good reason, you know, I tell these guys, despite working hard all regular season to earn the 2 seed, we're matched up first against LeBron James and the reigning champion Lakers. The odds are likely against us. No, not likely. I mean, you can look at the stats, but the odds are against us, you know? And so I think that we take the floor like we've got nothing to lose. And it stems from the groundwork that's been laid all season long. And like he told us a year and a half ago, and like we saw even in the bubble in Orlando, like, you start there and the winds follow. You know, this isn't a team that was expected to do as well, even as they did this season, this early on, you know, but you start there and the winds will follow. That's what he said from the start. And that's probably what he's saying to these guys again tonight.
Awesome. And we love what he is building here. And me as media, but also Suns fan, little girl growing up. So it's really fun.
That is very cool to be a Suns fan growing up and to get to watch this, right?
Finally, here we go.
Yeah, without a doubt. That is so cool.
Kristen, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We know that you are juggling a lot. This was Kristen Ledlow with NBA TV, and I'm Sandy Charles.